are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani, and you can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. You can check out my bio there to see everywhere I am covering the game of baseball. Also joining me is my co-host, Vinny Rattino. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Rattino. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And thank you for making Locked On Brewers your first listen each and every day. Appreciate your support even into the off season here. Really do appreciate it. And we're getting geared up for Thanksgiving. This will be our last podcast before Thanksgiving. We do plan to have another one on Friday for the weekend, but hopefully you are all geared up for Thanksgiving. I know Vinny is. I had to push the podcast back a little bit because he's out there at Walmart trying to find the best turkey late at night here. I don't know what that's about, Vinny.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, Thanksgiving's right around the corner, and I needed to do some last minute shopping here. So it's the only option I have.
Sorry if you missed out on the last turkey out there. Vinny Rattino stole it, but it will be at his Thanksgiving dinner. I'm sure you'll be invited over there if you want to join. But yeah, hopefully you're all ready for and prepared for a good Thanksgiving meal on Thursday. Before we get to that, got a couple of things baseball-wise want to talk about on the podcast today. Brewers had a couple of players named to the All-MLB first team, which is pretty cool. They've also decided to move up the non-tender deadline ahead of the impending lockout. So we're going to talk about that, some potential players for the Brewers who could be non-tendered or just some of their arbitration-eligible players. And then we'll continue our positional reviews for the offseason, looking at the third base position. So just start things off here. Some great news for Josh Hader and Corbin Burnes. They both made the All-MLB first team. And I love the All-MLB thing. It really shows who was the best player for the entire year. You know, All-Stars games are cool, and All-Star voting is neat. And it's a good, you know, indicator of how good a player was. But when you go back and look at, you know, who was the best player at a certain position for an entire year, this All-MLB team they started, I think, in 2019 is a really good reflection of that. And obviously, Hader and Burnes were, you know, two of the best at their respective roles in 2021. So good to see them get the nod and be first teamers. There is a first and a second team, but Hader and Burnes named to the first team all MLB team for 2021. So certainly cool honors for them there. But probably the biggest news that came out on Tuesday was that MLB and MLB Players Association decided to move up the non-tender deadline. They moved it up to 8 p.m. Eastern on November 30th. It was supposed to be on December 2nd. Just for those of you who don't know, this is the time or the deadline for players who are arbitration eligible. It is the deadline for teams to either tender them a contract or non-tender them a contract, and basically they become free agents. So then they did this because the collective bargaining agreement is set to expire on December 1st, and we're most likely headed towards a lockout. Everything seems to be pointing in that direction. So they moved this up to give players who are going to be non-tendered a little bit of time to try to negotiate or find a contract before the lockout begins and rosters moves are frozen. So that is why they have done this, in order to give those players an opportunity to try to sign with somebody before the lockout begins. So just looking at the Brewers list of arbitration eligible players right now, MLB trade rumors list them with 14 arbitration eligible players. That includes Jace Peterson, Omar Narvaez, Brent Suter, Luke Maley, who's, you know, already elected free agency, been waived, Josh Hader, Brandon Woodruff, Daniel Vogelbach, Willy Adames, Corbin Burnes, Eric Lauer, Yandel Gustave, Adrian Hauser, Rowdy Tellez, and Luis Urias. So a lot of players there that will be getting paid through the arbitration system for the 2022 season. The most expensive projections that the Brewers have right now are Josh Hader, who's projected to make around $10 million, and Brandon Woodruff, who's projected to make around $7 million. So, you know, everybody other than that's really not projected to make a lot. You got Omar Narvaez, Willy Adames, and Corbin Burns at around projected to make around $4 million. I don't know, Vinny. I look at this list of names here. I don't see anybody on here that they can non-tender. I think all of these guys are pretty critical to the team in 2022. You could maybe say Yandel Gustave they could non-tender, but he's only projected to make $800,000 according to MLB trade rumors. So not like you'd be saving a ton of money there and still, you know, an arm with some upside, but I don't really see anybody else on here that's non-tender worthy. Do you think there's anybody on that list that could potentially be non-tendered?
Oh, I agree with you. No, I do not see anybody that's non-tender worthy. I would say Gustave is kind of replaceable, but there's some upside to him, and I believe he has an option. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. If he's got an option, then for sure, I think they tender him an $800,000 split deal. If he does not have an option, I could see them non-tendering him and cutting him loose, to be honest, but check me on that. Otherwise, no, I agree. I think that all these guys, you got to sign back and get them under contract.
Yeah. It looks like Gustave does have a minor league option left. So yeah, it doesn't make a ton of sense to non-tender him when he's not making a ton of money. And like I said, still has some upside, and you can send him back down to AAA if you need to. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of players for the Brewers are in arbitration, but again, none of them really making a ton of money. You know, sometimes you'll see teams, you know, non-tender a player who's in the last year or two of their arbitration seasons, and they're not really, you know, worth exactly the money that they're going to make in arbitration. And maybe a small market team would non-tender that player to try to save that money. But there's really not anybody on here that fits that bill. I mean, Rowdy Tellez is predicted to make around $2 million. You know, Vogelbach around $2 million. You know, Jace Peterson, $1.3 million. I mean, these are all really good deals for the guys and the roles that they play on this team. So I don't see the Brewers non-tendering anybody there. I see all of these players getting tendered a contract, which, you know, on the flip side, you know, that deadline means that the Brewers have to tender these guys a contract before that deadline. Doesn't mean they have to agree to it at that point, but you could see a lot of these players deals get done, you know, before that deadline. You could see the two sides agree to their salary for 2022. What you often see a lot of times before the non-tender deadline is extensions. So sometimes you'll see teams, you know, buy out the rest of a player's arbitration years. I could see the Brewers potentially doing that. I mean, would love to see them do it for, you know, a Woodruff or a Burns or an Adames, somebody like that. I don't know that will happen necessarily because, you know, those guys are projected to probably get some big bumps in salary over the next couple of years. So it probably wouldn't be in their best interest, but could also see some of that. But Benny, just I'll read through the list again. Let me know who is one player on this list. And this might be an easy answer for you, but who would you like to see the Brewers try to work an extension with, you know, before this deadline, either to buy out their arbitration years or perhaps buy out some of their free agent years as well. So just run through the list of players: Jace Peterson, Omar Narvaez, Suter, Hader, Woodruff, Vogelbach, Adames, Burns, Lauer, Gustave, Hauser, Tellez, and Arias.
Adames and Burns are, I mean, what you asked me for one player. I mean, both those guys. I would say Burns, I would pay him over $200 million right now to extend him. Yeah, I would. I would try to buy him into his mid-30s. I think he is that valuable of a player, and I would pay him a lot of money. Well, he's 28 years old now, right? So maybe I got to do my math on that. Let me back up. But Willy Adames is certainly another candidate. Let me just say this. Let me back up. So those are the two answers to your question that you only asked me for one player, but I would certainly extend both those guys. The other thing that I was going to say, and I kind of forgot to mention this, with Vogelbach, right? If this guy is if this guy's tendered a contract, I wonder if the Brewers are privy to some information, some inside information on whether or not there's going to be a DH next year. Right.
Yeah.
If he's not tendered a contract, I wonder if there's not going to be a DH in the NL next year. But he's one guy that is eligible to be non-tendered just because I think he's a little bit redundant. I do think Tellez is the first baseman next year, the everyday first baseman, and Vogelbach is really just limited without the DH now, is limited to pinch hit at ABs. And it's a little bit of, you know, no pun intended here, but a little bit of dead weight to carry at that point. That's a terrible joke. If you caught that, Jake, as far as Vogelbach. But I do like Vogelbach. I just think he's a little bit redundant and he may be eligible to be non-tendered.
Yeah, that's a good call. If there's not a DH, and you know, especially with the addition of Mike Brasso, who can play first base and can back that up, you know, as well, you got to figure Keston Hiura is going to be somewhere in the mix. And you know, if he's there, you figure he's probably going to get the DH reps as well. So yeah, I can see that as a situation where maybe Vogelbach, you know, is a candidate to be non-tendered. Again, wouldn't be saving you a ton of money, but could potentially see that happen. And so you're right about that. Willy Adames is the one for me. And I talked about when we did our shortstop review, I'm logging him up for as long as I can. And maybe that's an overreaction to, you know, 3+ months in Milwaukee, what he did. But when you find somebody at the shortstop position that's a leader like he is, and, you know, hit like he did and carry that team like he did, I think you got to lock that up for as long as you can. So he'd be my one guy, you know, that I'd be looking to extend. I'm with you on Burns. It's just extending starting pitchers makes me so nervous because they can be so fragile at times, and you know, one tingle in the elbow and they're gone for 2 years, and that's a lot of salary that you have to eat there. But certainly Corbin Burns, you know, and like he is 27, so you know, I would extend him, you know, 4 or 5 years if I could. For sure. But I'm definitely just a little bit more cautious in extending starters than I am position players for the injury risk reason. We'll take a break here and then we'll come back and review the third base position for the Brewers. I love Thanksgiving. You got all the good food and treats and plenty of them, but maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is a new holiday dessert based on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Replace that coconut cream pie with a coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, covered in 100% real chocolate. And they have new surprises all month with limited time flavors arriving at built.com regularly. So check the site often. And there's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, just go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. So we continue our off-season positional reviews, looking at the third base position. And we may have some clarity going forward here with Luis Urias. And, you know, third base position was a bit of an unknown coming into the year. You had, you know, Travis Shaw over there a lot. They tried to put Orlando Arcia over there some before trading him like 6 days into the season. But Urias ended up, you know, after he lost out on the shortstop job and they traded for Willy Adames and Shaw got hurt, he ended up taking over that third base position and did a really good job there. And Urias, just 24 years old, was a, you know, super highly touted prospect, but had struggled at the major league level for most of his career before really the second half of 2021. Again, took over at third base, much better at the plate, still struggled throwing the ball at times, but you know, it's not as glaring from the third base position as it was from shortstop, which is, you know, the most important position on the field defensively in my mind. He ended up playing in 150 games, which is just kind of crazy when you think about it. I mean, things just kind of broke his way. I mean, I felt like the shortstop job was just kind of handed to him. He lost that, and then third base position opened up, and then, you know, Wong got hurt. He filled in there as well at times. So it just seemed like he was always needed in the lineup, and he played well. I mean, he earned that right to be in there. On the total for the season, he slashed 249, 345 with a 445 slugging and a 789 OPS. Had 23 home runs, 77 runs scored, 75 RBIs. So really solid across the board. But like I said, was really good in the second half of the season when he slashed 266, 367, 483 with an 850 OPS. So again, I gave you some hope for that. Maybe he is the future at that position. I've always viewed Arias as a second baseman. But again, I thought he held down the third base job pretty well defensively. Obviously, the bat started to come around and started to show that potential that a lot of people saw when he was a minor league prospect. So, Vinny, I think he at least begins 2022 as the everyday third baseman for the Brewers. I think he still has to kind of replicate what he showed, you know, last season, that wasn't an aberration, that he can continue on that trend. But I think he's at least deserved the right to start next year as the third baseman for the Milwaukee Brewers.
And Stearns even said that he earned that right. I think Council even said that he earned that right. I agree with that. I would have my finger on the panic button a little bit, just watching the throwing issue, right? I mean, that really doesn't go away for players a lot of times. So I would just kind of have someone kind of waiting in the wings. I would protect him a little bit. I like the bat. I like the ability to put together quality at bat. He has a really good eye. He knows strike from ball. He doesn't swing and miss a ton. He's learned how to take some chances and pull the ball in the air. He kind of fixed his issue with closing off too much, and it's allowed him to even have better strike zone judgment after he kind of squared himself off in his move towards the hitting position. When he's into that leg kick, he would have a hard time really closing himself off. So he's kind of corrected that. That's helped his strike from ball recognition. He's kind of tapped into some power. I think the production that you saw from this kid is what you are going to get. He's not going to be Alex Bregman. Even though I do see some similarities between the two. And I kind of made mention of that on the pre and post game show earlier this year, that like there are some similarities to their games. I don't think he's as dynamic of an athlete or dynamic of a mover, not as quick a hands as an Alex Bregman. But I do think the production that you saw from Luis Arias is kind of what you are probably going to be accustomed to seeing. He's going to be around 800 OPS. I don't think it's going to be much more than that. I do think the defense is a concern. I would continue to kind of protect him and move him all around the field. But I, before you do that, you give him the job at third base. Let him prove it. Let him see if he can handle it over there defensively. If not, you kind of move him around, play second, play short every once in a while. Guys with some issues playing defensively and throwing the ball, the more they move around, the more uncomfortable, I guess, they feel when they already feel uncomfortable, if that makes sense. And then it just kind of gets them into that's their role, that's their identity, and they just kind of piece it together that way. And I know that's kind of getting into the weeds, but that's kind of how players think when they're struggling defensively. Take it from a guy who struggled mightily defensively, right? So I think that's where the Brewers stand at third base.
Yeah, to me, it seemed like once they moved him off the shortstop position, he kind of just relaxed at the plate a little bit. It's a lot of pressure playing shortstop. I mean, you're the leader of the infield. I just don't see that in him. I don't see him being that type of, you know, leader on the field. Not saying that he's not a good player, doesn't have that ability. I don't see that in him. Like you see, I mean, you can see a stark difference between him and Willy Adames and how they just control, you know, everybody on the field playing the shortstop position. But I think once he moved off of that, it allowed him to relax a little bit. Still had the throwing issues, like you said, that just doesn't go away. But I agree with your takes there. I think that is what we see of Arias. I think he's a solid 6, 7, 8 hole hitter. I don't ever see him being, you know, a middle of the order type bat. But somebody that's going to hit, you know, 250, 260, 20 home runs, like you said, 800 OPS type player. I think that's what you see from him and can expect from him going forward. Backing up Luis Arias presently on the team for the 2022 season would be Mike Brasso and Jace Peterson, guys that can slide in over there, be ready to fill in if Arias gets hurt or struggles, those two would probably be the first ones called upon. All right, next we'll take a look at the future of the third base position. But before we do, let me tell you about BetOnline. It's Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means, football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. And it's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops as well as NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. All right, looking at the future of the position, we kind of already talked about a little bit. You know, I think Luis Urias has an opportunity to prove that he's the third baseman of the future. 2022 will be a big season for him to see if he can kind of build upon what he did at the plate there. Like Vinny said, am worried about the arm. If that continues to be a problem, I think maybe you look at moving him to second base in the future. Maybe that helps him out a little bit. But for right now, you know, he has the potential to be the third baseman of the future. Beyond him, Mike Brasso, I mean, he's still under contract for a while. You know, if he turns into an everyday type player, I know he's not that right now, but he, you know, at least fits into the future part of third base. Behind him, I think Bryce Terang is an option. I think he might be better suited for second base. We talked about that in our second base review, that he could be the heir apparent there to take over once Colton Wong is gone. But somebody I want to mention here, and I mentioned him, you know, talking about first base, but he can also play third base. He can play either corner position, and that's recently drafted Alex Benaez. He played 26 games at third base in Carolina this past season. I love this guy. I think he's it was a third round pick, so it's not necessarily a diamond in the rough, but I think this guy is going to hit. I think he's a first baseman in the future, but I mean, certainly has experience at third base, can play the position, certainly gives you the power that you want out at third base. But Vinny, your thoughts on the future of the position? Do you think Urias holds it for a while? Who's next in line behind him prospect wise that could potentially take that over?
I don't see any surefire third baseman coming. But you know, Benelis, however you pronounce his name, is an interesting name. I just cannot envision the kid playing third base every day at the big league level. I just think there's too much work to be done. I don't think the feet are naturally there or the hands. I think he is a first baseman in the end. But he's an interesting name because he's an exciting future bat that the Brewers do have. So, you know, stranger things have happened. I mean, there's been some third basemen that I've seen in the past where there's been no chance for them to play third base at the big league level, and all of a sudden they turn into a pretty solid option there. So guys do improve, I will say that. And I am biased against guys that kind of are butchers there, and then I'm thinking no way, but they do improve. This is one thing that really does improve. Sometimes you can't see the hit tool ever really improving between when the guy's in the lower level of the minor leagues and he really can't his weight out of a paper bag. But I have seen on occasion guys kind of work themselves into a serviceable average defender at the major league level, you know, depending on the position. So stranger things have happened. I hope you're right in terms of, you know, maybe him being the third baseman of the future, because I agree with you. I like the bat. Other than that, I don't see any surefire third baseman coming. Bryce Terang, I do think, is either a shortstop or a second baseman. I don't give up on him at short. I just think Willy Adames is going to be the and hopefully they extend him. So I do like Bryce at short or second. So other than that, I don't see anybody else.
Yeah, so third base is a little thin. You know, we talked about second base and how deep it is. Third base is a little thin because, like I said, I would like to see Alex Benaez be able to play third base. But like I said, I think he's more positioned to take over the first base job. And I think he could do that pretty soon. I think his bat could move pretty quickly through the system. But he at least has played, you know, a lot of games there, even in his pro career so far. So I got to at least list him there as an option. And you know, when he comes up, maybe that is the best way to get him on the field. So, you know, if the bat is really coming along, developing fine and or developing great, and you got to get him on there, then maybe that's where he has to play for a little while. I don't know that that's his permanent home at the big league level. But again, I do believe in that bat. I think he'll play at least one of the corners in the next 2 or 3 years. I think the bat is that good. All right, that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Hope you all have a great Thanksgiving. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Follow me at Shortstop Ball and Vinny at Vinny Rotino. Also, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And we will talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.